Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, as we get started, I want to read a couple of passages, one out of the Old Testament, out of Isaiah, and one out of the New, out of the Gospel of John. Out of Isaiah chapter 9, at verse 2, we read this: "The people who walk in darkness shall see a great light, a light that will shine on all those who live in the land of the shadow of death." And then out of the Gospel of John at chapter 12, beginning at verse 35, Jesus replied, "My light will shine out for you just a little while longer. Walk in it while you can, and go where you want to go before the darkness falls. For then it will be too late for you to find your way. Make use of the light while there is still time. Then you will become light bearers." After saying these things, Jesus went away and was hidden from them. But despite all the miracles he had done, most of the people would not believe he was the Messiah. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving with your family and other loved ones. I hope you embraced the spirit of the season and paused long enough to notice, to reflect on, and to give thanks for all the beauty, the blessings, and sacred people and moments which God has placed in your life. In the first passage that we read from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah, pointing the people to the coming of the Messiah, tells them that they would see a great light. He was pointing them to the birth of the Savior, the Messiah, God's Son. Yet, we see later in the passage, in John that we read, that when Jesus did come and then began his ministry among us, performing miracles, healing the sick, calming storms, and more, the people still didn't notice or believe that he was the Messiah. They missed the moment. The light was right there before them, yet they still didn't believe. A number of years ago, a young musician was asked to be part of an experiment put on by the Washington Post during rush hour in the always busy LaFont Plaza metro station located in Washington, D.C. And so on Friday morning at 7:51 a.m. on January 12, 2007, world-renowned violin virtuoso Joshua Bell set up a position within that busy D.C. metro station, opened his violin case on the floor in front of him to suggest donations were welcome, and began to play his Stradivarius violin right in the midst of that morning rush hour. He was wearing a plain long-sleeved shirt, jeans, and a Washington Nationals baseball cap, a fairly common look, certainly not a very distinguished appearance designed to get much attention on its own. For the next 45 minutes, he played six classical pieces, including one from Johann Sebastian Bach. During that period, nearly 1,100 people passed by. A three-year-old boy stopped, watched, and listened longest until his mother came back and hurried him along on their errand. A few tossed money into the open violin case as they hurried by, and at the end of his session, he had gathered enough money for a modest dinner, just a little more than $32. Of those 1,100 people who passed by that morning, only seven stopped long enough to listen to any part of any piece of the music which he played during that time. But just 3 days earlier, that young violinist, Joshua Bell, had filled to overflowing Boston's Symphony Hall, where tickets for his concert sold for $100 a seat. And in 2 weeks, he would perform a concert in Eastern Maryland, again commanding a substantial fee for sharing his incredible musical talents and abilities. Yet that morning, in the LaFont Plaza metro station in Washington, D.C., almost everyone just walked on by. No one seemed to care. No one seemed to notice. What was it that caused so many to pass by and miss the majesty and miracle of the moment? What was on their minds that caused them to pass by without even a nod? What was directing or misdirecting their steps that caused them to miss the majestic moment right there before them? We just celebrated the wonderful season of Thanksgiving. How was it? Did we pause long enough to truly experience it? Here we are now, heading toward the most majestic of times, the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. Will we see it or miss it? What is it in our lives that keeps us from seeing at times the majestic things God puts right in front of us to bless our days? Could it be some of the same things that caused those to pass by Joshua Bell that morning? A focus on other things, on problems, difficulties, uncertainties that kept them from missing the moment? Could it have been the blinders of misguided priorities the world fits us with and pulls us toward to seek as important all the stuff, achievements and awards? Could that have been the reason they missed the majesty of that moment? You could suppose that every one of them that morning were simply too busy with trying to get to work on time, needing to make a living, to try and support themselves and their family. Or maybe classical music, no matter how majestic and beautiful, just wasn't their thing. We could guess a lot of things that caused them to miss the moment, but no matter the reason, they still missed the moment. But here's another thought. Maybe they just never expected anything majestic to happen during their day or in the world around them. You can't help but wonder if any of those rushing through that station on that workday morning even expected to find anything majestic in their journey or in their lives that day as they sprinted by that most beautiful moment set there for their enjoyment. They were just kind of going through the motions of just another day from beginning to end. By the way, the violin was a Stradivarius worth $3.5 million. The music was composed by the great Johann Sebastian Bach and other great composers, and the performer, as I mentioned, well, was one of the world's best, Joshua Bell. All, it would seem, were good reasons for anyone to stop and enjoy the moment, but few did. Certainly, that wouldn't have been us, would it? Certainly, we would have stopped. Here we are, headed out of Thanksgiving and on toward Christmas, where we will celebrate the birth of a tiny baby, the ultimate in majestic moments. And will we even notice? Surely we will, won't we? Will our behavior show that we get it, that we understand what Isaiah was pointing toward those many years before, that we believe? Surely it will. Surely our behavior will demonstrate that, won't it? And so, on that busy Friday morning, the people who passed by in that metro station didn't see or hear the beauty that was right there before them. They didn't see the need of others symbolized by the empty violin case. And they didn't stop long enough to hear the blessing of the music and the musician in their midst. In the midst of the busyness of life, they had missed the blessing right before them. Certainly, we would have done differently, right? But they weren't alone in that. We saw in the scripture as we began that even those with Jesus 2,000 years ago didn't believe or expect to see majestic moments right before them. And they were with Christ physically and witnessed his miracles right before their own eyes. The majesty of God is all around us. It's in the lives near us who might need a hand up in life, a sick loved one who gets well. God's majesty is in those in our families and friends who love us, who look up to us and count on us. It's in the opportunities before us to make an eternal difference in the world and the lives around us. It's even in the whirlwinds of each of our days, if we'll only stop long enough to hear the music, to see the moments and experience his majesty. What will we see? What will we miss? Do we get up each morning and approach each day with the expectation that we will be confronted with the majesty of God? Or do we go through each day with our heads down, with little expectancy of him appearing before us or doing anything in the world around us? We're now headed toward one of the most majestic moments of our year, a moment which only God could create at one in the same time, a seemingly everyday occurrence, yet one of the most majestic moments in history, the birth of the Son of God. You want to see majesty as only God can create it? Certainly, you could climb Mount Everest and view his creation as far as the eye could see. You can view the images of the Earth sent back from the space station or orbiting satellites, or add pictures from the Hubble telescope to see the stars, the galaxies stretching out to the ends of your imagination. All the majesty of God. Or you and I can visit the babe of Bethlehem in a few weeks, in the manger, or why not even today, to experience anew God's most majestic moment of all for you and for me, the birth of his Son for our salvation and for eternal life with him. We just can't miss it. Here's a thought. Why not begin today to expect to see the majesty of God and the majestic moments he places around us in each new day which unfolds before us, maybe even in a busy metro station or other busy moments in our lives, maybe in the peace he brings in a storm we go through, maybe in a gathering of family, maybe in the sunrise of every brand new day and the opportunity to join him and with him in all he is going to do to touch the world. Or maybe, just maybe, we'll see again the majesty of God in the birth of his son in a manger in Bethlehem for you and for me. In the busyness of our lives, especially in the weeks ahead as we head toward the majestic moment of the manger, why not slow down, stop, look around, and enjoy and embrace the moments of God's majesty that are everywhere around us. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for my friends. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for the impact they've had. Lord, I thank you for the reminder that we need to not miss the moments of your majesty, the things you do every second of every day in our lives, that we need to slow down, to look around, to look for you, pause, and embrace those moments so that you can continue to make us all that you want us to be, all that you need us to be, to touch the world with and through you. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for your son. Thanks for doing what you did as only you could have figured out to do and sending him to be born in a manger just for us. And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.